I'm sorry about last week that we didn't say a shiur for Pinchas. I had been out of the country, and when I came back, there was lots and lots to do, and I just couldn't get the menuchas hanefesh to sit down to say a shiur. So let's make up for it this week with Matos. And the Pasha which I'm interested in is the Pasha of the Bnei God of Bnei Reuven and the story of their request to get their nachala on the east bank of the Yarden. Particularly, I'd like to think a little bit about the Bnei God, because they played an extremely central role in this whole story. Why do I say that? Because immediately we can just read the psukim as they start the Pasha, and we'll see that there is an anomaly. It says, "Umikne Rav hoyu livnei Reuven ulivnei God otzum me'od." So the story starts by telling us that Bnei Reuven and Bnei God had these huge flocks, and therefore they had an interest in remaining in Evel HaYaden. Now, it mentions Reuven first. Umikne Rav hoyo livnei Reuven velivnei God, otzum me'od. And that is, of course, what would be expected, because Reuven was the Bechoyer, and therefore, if we're going to tell a story about two Shvatim, one of whom was Reuven, so then the natural thing would be to mention Reuven first, and that is b'diyok what the Torah did. But the very next posuk, when we get to the point where these two Shvatim come and talk to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Seder switches. It says, Vayovoyu b'nei God, and so on and so forth. So, apparently, the initiative for suggesting this whole thing came from the Bnei God. And that's why they are mentioned first. And that is, in fact, what the Ramban says. And the Ramban explains, why would the Bnei God, rather than the Bnei Reuven, have initiated this idea? Because the truth is that in making such a suggestion, both the Shvatim were really exposing themselves to some very, very dangerous situations. I mean, there's absolutely no protection on the east bank. On the west bank, at least you have the Yarden. And so when an attacking army comes, the people in Eretz Yisrael proper would be able to defend themselves to some extent. But over here, if they were living on the east bank with absolutely nothing between them and Ammon and Moab and Edom and all these nations, which certainly harbored no friendly feelings towards them, so they were exposing themselves to a lot of danger. Now, Reuven may well have been prudent and wondered, is this a good idea? But God, who's very, very, very strong, because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says in the Zois HaBrocha, that Baruch Machiv God, that the Rabbeinu Shem gave him huge territory because he lives on the Gevul with the Goyim. Tilovi Shochein, he's like a lion. V'torav Zeroya Afkotkoit, so he's an enormously strong and mighty warrior, and therefore God wasn't really afraid. There was a lot of danger involved in settling on the east bank, but God, as a mighty warrior, was not really afraid of the consequences. So that would explain, and for the Ramban it does explain, that Bnei God over here is mentioned first, because he was the initiator. Now, when we read the story as it's written in Matos, so what we have over here seems to be simply a decision which two hard-headed, business-oriented Shvatim, they made this decision. The Rebbein Shem had, for reasons of his own, blessed them with enormous flocks, and therefore they had to think about how to care for them and how to bring them up and feed them in the best possible way. And it seemed to them that the huge pasture lands in the East Bank were appropriate for that. And that's why they asked for this. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu was initially suspicious. And Ramban explains, why was he suspicious? Because it sounded very, very much as though Bnei God and Bnei Reuven were still suffering under the whole story of the Meraglim, and that they didn't want to cross over because they were afraid of the terrible battles which seemed to be looming ahead, and that they decided, look, what do we need these battles for? Let's stay over here and things will be really nice. But then the Bnei God and Bnei Reuven managed to persuade Moshe Rabbeinu that that was not their intention. On the contrary, they offered to be Navo Chalutz, and they would go and they would do the main fighting. They would be the first ones to cross over. Moshe Rabbeinu then became convinced of their Lashem Shemaim in asking for this and granted them the request. So, as I say, if we would simply read the story as written, so that's the story. Now, what exactly is involved over here? Well, on a superficial reading, it's difficult to know. Why should this story be told to us in such enormous detail? What exactly are we to learn from it? I'm not saying it's a kasha, like we don't need to know this, but then on the other hand, do we need to know it? To what extent do we need to know it? Do we have to know all the protem? It's an interesting question. What exactly is the function of this pasha in the Torah of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Now, the truth is that the impression which we have from reading the pasha over here seems to be very, very different than the impression which Moshe Rabbeinu conveys to us in Zayis HaBrocha, when he gives God his brocha. He see pointing to aspects of the story for which there seems to be absolutely no remez. There seems to be no hint over here in the Pasha that anything like that was really going on. Was it say over there, Ulegod Omar Baruch Machev God Kilovi Shochein V'Torav Zeroya Afkot Koid? Okay. Now, Vaya Reishis Lo, Rashi learns. He saw the Reishis, the first accessible part of Eretz Yisrael. He saw that and he wanted it for himself. Why? Kisham chelkas mechokek safun. Because there, Rashi learns, the kever of the mechokek of Moshe Rabbeinu is hidden over there. God wanted to be where the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu is. Now, over here in Matas, we don't get even a hint that there was anything like that involved. Where does it say anything that he wanted to be near Moshe Rabbeinu? And then it goes on. Now, there are really three phrases over there. Vayesei Rosh Ha'am, Tzidkas Hashem Oso, Umishpotavim Yisrael, and each one of them needs a hesber, but in a short shir, we can't do everything, so let's concentrate on the middle one. Tzidkas Hashem Oso. He did that which was just to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, what exactly does that mean? And first of all, who did it? The pasuk you could read in two ways. Either Moshe Rabbeinu, Kisham Chelkas Mechokek Sofun, who, Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayesei Rosh Ha'am, Tzidkas Hashem Oso Mishpatavim Yisrael, or it could go on God. Rashi learns it goes on God. Now, what exactly do we mean when we say that God did Tzedakah to the Ribbono Shel Olam? In what way did God do Tzedakah to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Now, again, it seems that there's something very, very, very strange going on over here. The pasuk is going on Vayah Reishis Loi, that he chose the first part of the Yerush of Eretz Yisrael, namely on the east bank, and from the Hemshach of the pasuk, it's Mashma, that he did that because Tzidkas Hashem Oso, he wanted to be just with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, none of that appears in Matos. In Matos, like we said, we have a hard-headed business decision which is made because of a need to look after the sheep, and that's it. And there's nothing beyond that. So what is over here Moshe Rabbeinu doing in V'Zois HaBrocha? So you can't escape the impression that what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying over here is ki'ilu he's writing a Rashi on what happened in Matos. That Moshe Rabbeinu in his final bracha to B'nai God, felt the need to touch up what God had actually been doing, what was going on there. Because on the surface, the other Shvatim must have looked askance at B'nai God of B'nai Reuven. For 40 years, they had wandered in the Midbar with their eyes set on Eretz Yisrael proper. We can't deny that although Evel HaYarden is, of course, a chelek of Eretz Yisrael, but Chazal say it doesn't have the same measure of Kedusha as the West Bank. Only Roy Lishchin or the Beis HaMikdash, they were only able to build in Eretz Yisrael proper. The milos of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, the milos of walking Talad Amos in Eretz Yisrael, all of those are on the main part of Eretz Yisrael, on the west of the Yarden. So really, by settling on the east side of the Yarden, they were settling for the second best. In terms of the overall picture of what Eretz Yisrael means to us, it's very, very clear that they were settling for second best. Now, the other Shvatim must have looked very, very critically at B'nai God of B'nai Reuven. Because you want to look after your sheep, you're going to give up on living in Eretz Yisrael proper by the Shechina, where it's Royal Hashuas Hashechina, where the Beis Hamikdash is ultimately going to be built, where Kol Ador be'Eretz Yisrael, Kilo Yesh Lo Eloa. Like, why are you giving up on that? And it must have looked very, very bad. And later on we find in Tanakh that the truth is that the 10 Shvatim in Eretz Yisrael didn't look very favorably on the Shvatim on the East Bank. They built a Mizbeach there, and they were choshed that they wanted to serve Avodah Zarah, and they were choshed that they wanted to make a split in Klal Yisrael. There was it was a tension-ridden kind of relationship. And the emes is that a great big question mark seems to hover over what Bnei God of Bnei Reuven did. Why were they willing to give up the part of Eretz Yisrael, which has the main Kedusha? Question. And so Moshe Rabbeinu had to give an answer to that. Gives his farewell to Klal Yisrael, says goodbye to Klal Yisrael, and he gives the brachas. He tells them what bracha really had in mind. Now, first of all, the tzidkas Hashem also. What does that mean? That he did what was just in towards the Rabbeinu Shlalom. So the tziv in his Hamikdavah, he says what it really means. What motivated God? And here we see what a terrific yesod this whole story of God was. And that is that the Netziv says that what is Tzidkas Hashem also? That God wanted to do chesed to the Rabbeinu Shlalom. God wanted to do chesed to the Rabbeinu Shlalom. That he did that stalker, Tzidkas Hashem also. So what does it mean that he wanted to do chesed to the Rabbeinu Shlalom? Because the fact is that Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a Ramban in Chukas, that Moshe Rabbeinu Taka had no intention of settling Eved Yaden. Certainly he knew that Eved Yaden could be part of Eretz Yisrael, but he felt that it was better that the whole nation should be together on the other side of the Yaden. It's safer. There's like we said before, there's a greater Kedusha over there. And Moshe Rabbeinu figured that we will leave Eved Yaden unsettled. Bein Shalom was terribly unhappy about that, Kivayot, say such a thing like that. Bein Shalom wants that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael should spread over a huge area. The bigger the area over which there could be a Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbeinu Shalom would have been happier. So, Dr. Netziv, that is Tzidkas Hashem also. God was determined to do chesed to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And he was said, I'm not going to allow what happened that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to leave Eved Yaden unsettled. I'm not going to let that go. The Rabbeinu Shalom Kiviyochel deserves better at our hands. He wants that the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael should spread out over as wide an area as possible, and I'm going to see to it that that is done. That was the motivation of God. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu teaches up to the Yidden Zayis HaBracha. Don't look at God and Reuven as being businessmen. God, at least God who initiated it, right? He was motivated by that, by doing this enormous chesed to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And why is it an enormous chesed? Why is it taka an enormous chesed? Because God was very, very, very much aware of what he was giving up. He realized that what he was giving up was the peak kedusha of the Eretz Yisrael on the West Bank. He knew he was giving that up. He knew he was putting himself in danger. He knew that he was giving up great, 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 great chunks of quality by living in Eved Yaden instead of living in Eretz Yisrael proper. But why did he do that? He did that because he was a Baal Chesed. He wanted to do Chesed. He wanted to do Chesed to the Rabbeinu Shlalom. Emma says he didn't only want to do Chesed to the Rabbeinu Shlalom, he also wanted to do Chesed to the Yidden. Because the truth is that by presenting a buffer zone, presenting a buffer zone between Ammon Moav and Edom and the Yidden on the West Bank, he was protecting them. God had an overwhelming love, not only for the Rabbeinu Shlalom, to whom he wanted to do this chesed, but also to the Yidden, to whom he wanted to do this chesed. How do we know how much God and Reuven loved the rest of the Yidden? We see that from the Tanai, which Moshe Rabbeinu made with them. When they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they asked him to allow them to settle on the East Bank, so what did Moshe Rabbeinu say to them? He says, fine, you can settle on the East Bank, but you have to go over first and fight. So they said, sure. and we're going to fight until the end of the Sheva Shekivsha. They were mechayev themselves to stay for 7 years. It took 7 years of battling until finally the whole of Eretz Yisrael had been conquered. And throughout those times, the Bnei God and the Bnei Reuven stayed over there. But then what happened absolutely boggles the mind. After the conquest was over, after those 7 years, and where they were perfectly willing to, legally entitled, to go back to their families in Eved LaYarden, they said, no, we're going to stay for the Sheva Shechilku also. They stayed for 14 years. 7 years is no joke to be away from your family. And another 7 voluntary years is certainly no joke. That can only come from an enormous willingness to sacrifice and to give to Klal Yisrael. That's an unbelievable thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful chesed which the God did for their fellow Yidden. If we want to have a measurement of what a sacrifice that was, that's an unbelievable chazal, that when after 14 years the Bnei God of Bnei Reuven came back to Eved LaYarden, so we figure out that if they had a little son of 10, and now they came back 14 years later, so he was 24. The Chazal actually figured it out, not because they thought we couldn't figure the mathematics ourselves, but they wanted to stress what it means. You leave a little child of 10 and you come back a grown adult, independent, they sacrificed so much. Chazal say, when they came back, what happened? They found that they were in the middle of a war, that the Goyim had attacked the Yidden, and when the Bnei Godim and the women were coming back, they saw a terrific battle raging over there in Eved LaYarden, the Yidden protecting themselves from attack from the Goyim. But the trouble was, listen to this, unbelievable. The trouble was they didn't recognize their children, they didn't know who was Jewish and who was Goyish. And in the awareness of the hairstyles today in our crazy world, says they were Megadle Bluyos and they were Megadle Bluyos. They had long hair and they had long hair. They looked like a bunch of Goyim. That for 14 years they didn't have their fathers around to be Mechanech them. And so the two sides were fighting, and they knew, the Bnei God and Bnei Reuven obviously knew what was happening, but they didn't know which side to help. They didn't know which were their children, they didn't know which were the Goyim. Until they heard the one side, Shrei, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam, please help us. So they saw these were their sons, and they helped them, and the whole thing worked out okay. But you see this enormous Mesiras Nefesh. You see this enormous Mesiras Nefesh, which the Bnei God and the Bnei Reuven and the Bnei God were the initiators over here. That this enormous Mesiras Nefesh which they had. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is touching up over there in Bezayis HaBrocha. They don't think that they was a business decision. It was a decision. Presumably what the Netziv means is they saw that the Ribbono Shel Olam had given them so much, and made them so potentially rich. Why did they do that? Because he wants us to settle over here so that the whole of Eretz Yisrael, including Eved LaYarden, can be imbued with the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. The risk, you're going to be away from the body of Klal Yisrael, and if they build a Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be far away from the Beis HaMikdash. So is that a right thing to risk? And Agav Rucha witnessed the fact that Taka, the children, missed a little bit on the chinuch. That Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kisham chelkas mechoy keksofon. That God knew that it was safe to live over there. Not only safe mitzad the military aspects of it, that he knew because he was a mighty warrior, but safe in the sense that the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu would protect them. So it comes out that what Moshe Rabbeinu said in Bezayis HaBrocha is a perush on what the Bnei God of Bnei Reuven did by us over here. And why did it need the perush? Because like we said before, because surely the other Shvatim would have looked very, very critically at Bnei God of Bnei Reuven. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make sholem, and he said, look, mitzadis ruchnias and mitzadis gashmias. He knew that everything was going to be fine, and the motivating factor was to do chesed with me. Unbelievable. Eitzach HaShailu. Now we have to ask, why was it Taka God among all the Shvatim? There were 11 other Shvatim. So why was it Dafka that God had this Hegesh of doing chesed to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Where did he learn that from? The answer, of course, is that he learned it from his mother. That's this beautiful story in Vayetze when the Shvatim were born. So we know the story of Rachel, Leah, Yaakov. We don't have to repeat the story. We know it. But we see that Leah had a gevura. It's just so unbelievable what it was that Leah had the tzidkas of that woman. It's completely ununderstandable. When Leah, well, how were the Shvatim born? You had Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Then you had Rachel giving Zilpah to Yaakov, and Rachel giving Bilhah to Yaakov, and Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Don Naphtali. Then Levi gives Zilpah to Yaakov, and she has God Varosha, and then later on she has Yisachar and Zvulun. So we learn that when she bore Zvulun, when she bore Yisachar, it says, "Vatoyma Leah, Noson Elokim Sechori, the Ribbono Shel Olam has rewarded me, Asher Nosati Shifchosi Leishi, that I gave my Shifcha, I gave Zilpah to my husband Yaakov, and he bore a God Vosha, and because of that, I was zochah now to get Yisachar. It's a scha for having given my Shifcha to Yaakov." Very interesting. The Chizkun asks over there, why did Leah think that she was getting a schar for having given her shifra to her husband? Why didn't Rachel think she was due for a schar for that? The answer is, he says, but it's unbelievable when we think about it. When Rachel gave her shifra to Yaakov, that was in her own interest. She didn't have children, and she thought that the only way she could be zeichet to children would be through her shifra. So she gave her shifra Bilhah to Yaakov. So she doesn't get a big yasher koyach for that. But Leah was the proud mother of four wonderful sons, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. So why did she have to give her shifra to Yaakov? The answer is it was an act of pure chesed. She gave it to Yaakov. She gave shifra to Yaakov because she thought it would be a good thing for Yaakov, that Yaakov was so eager to have children. And through Zilpah, he may be zeichet to have children. Now, when we think about that, Leah, so much suffering, that she suffered from the relationship between Yaakov and Rachel, and which put her relationship with him into a shadow, as it were. And by each of the sons, Nachamol, Kiro Hashem, Kishom Hashem, Apam Yilove Ishi Eloi, at the end, Zvulon, Zvodan Elokim, Zevet, Toik, Yoladet Yilah, she was always so tense about her relationship with Yaakov. And she, of all people, had to be machnes a tzoro l'soich beso. She had to go and give him another wife, another competition, and a wife who was going to be fruitful. She had stopped having children. It's unbelievable that such a chinuch, from such a tzidkas, that's where God came from. That's the pshat. That God got this enormous willingness to sacrifice for the sake of chesed. To sacrifice for the sake of chesed. That is the real story over here. The nation of the story on Matos, of what happened, where it sounds like a business deal, and in Mezayis HaBrocha, where we get the optage of what really happened. So now we know perhaps one aspect of why the Torah put all this here. Learn how a chinuch of chesed, this unbelievable chesed which Leah had done when she gave Zilpah to Yaakov, that created in her stepson Ke'ilu, God, this willingness, A, to risk everything for Klal Yisrael, to give up everything for Klal Yisrael, 14 years away from home, another 7 years which he hadn't needed, unbelievable, and to feel for the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is upset that there's not going to be a Kedushas Eretz Yisrael in Eva Layaden and Tzidkas Hashem also. Does the Tzidkas Hashem and makes sure that there should be Kedushas Eretz Yisrael even in Eva Layaden. There's a Shitter in Chazal. There are different Midrashim from whom Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be descended. And one of the Shitters is that he's going to come from Shevet God. And really there are no rayas for that. It seems to be that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come from Shevet God. But when we think about it, think about Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi could have been sitting in Olam Haba, in the Tzadikim Yashvim, V'Troseim, V'Rosheim, V'Nenim, Ziv HaShchina. What's he been doing through our Golos? For 2,000 years he's been schlepping around together with us in Golos. That's a God. That's a Meister God. That's a Meister God of staying 14 years in Eretz Yisrael when you only had to 7 years. Mr. Eliyahu HaNavi would be a lot happier being Nenem Ziv HaShchina up in Shomayim. But he's with us. He's not giving up on us. And he's staying with us. That is the love which God felt for his people. Because he also feels for the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Chilul Hashem of Golos, Eliyahu HaNavi is Ki'ilu saying to the Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm going to remain with the Yidden. I'm going to be with them. And I'm going to make sure that they will be in a state that was freer as early as possible. The Chilul Hashem of Golos will be eradicated, and Mashiach will come and will be Zeicher to the Geula Shlem.